And this is the last day of this festival. The festival in Sanskrit, Mahotsav, indicates great happiness, great joy. Okay, anyone else want to give a garland? Please give it now. Or afterwards. Generally not after the lecture started. Yeah, this festival is different from many kinds of festivals that are held throughout the world. Just like, for instance, in Germany, in Munich to be precise, there is an annual beer festival. And in Brazil, it's famous carnival. And I think in the West Indies and in Notting Hill Gate of London, there's the annual carnival in which people get drunk and they fight, and this is their enjoyment, among other things. And they dance and they sing also. We're also dancing and singing. And they are happy in doing so. Festival means pleasure. And we are happy in doing so. Krishna consciousness is a happy process. I challenge anyone to chant Hare Krishna and dance and not be happy. It's not possible. You can't feel depressed when you're chanting Hare Krishna and dancing. There are many differences, however, between that kind of festival and this that kind of festival. That happiness which people feel in drinking beer, that is not actual happiness. You may say, well, people have they have a sensation or an experience of happiness. But that is similar to the happiness that a pig feels when eating stool. Or generally a pig is a happy animal, even when not eating stool. Bhagavatam states that the jiva in hell feels it's also enjoyable. But any sane person can understand this is not the proper position to be a pig. So the enjoyment comes, or the actual enjoyment is experienced when we stop thinking of how we can enjoy and we think how Krishna can enjoy. That is the difference between spiritual happiness and the artificial happiness, the perverted reflection of happiness that is there in the material world. We don't say there's no happiness. There is happiness in the material world, but it is insufficient for our need. That is the tatala saikate vari bindu sama mita suta ramani samaje. The happiness of this material world is society, friendship and love, which is compared to a drop of water in the desert. We need, if we're in the desert, it's hot, we're thirsty, we want water. If we get a drop, we can't say it's not water, but it doesn't satisfy us. And what's more, in that water is poison. So not only does it not benefit us or satisfy us, but it causes more problems. That is, we might have some slight sensation of pleasure if we could get one drop of water on our tongue, but it will neither satisfy us nor is it beneficial for us. So actual happiness comes in our constitutional position of serving Krishna, and that's why a Vaishnava festival is categorically different from that of materialistic festivals. Because actual happiness comes when we come to the spiritual platform, the actual spiritual platform of serving Krishna. Bhukti mukti siddhi yavat pishachi hridi vartate tavat bhakti sukhasyatra katam abhyudayo bhavet. How can the happiness of bhakti be experienced? How will it arise? How will it take place? As long as within the heart there are the witches of desires for enjoying. Yeah, he's already translating ahead of me. Knows the verse. Bhotikka. I didn't say it, you said it ahead of me. Anyway, it's correct. Desire for material enjoyment, or the desire for liberation from material enjoyment. Both are a diseased condition, likened to a witch. So the festival in Krishna consciousness is very simple. Kirtan, katha, maybe dramas, prasadam, associating with devotees. All these elements are there, but the actual happiness will be generated when we think how Krishna will be pleased. We go on the wrong track when we think, oh, it's a festival, therefore we should be happy. What do we need to do to be happy? Immediately on the wrong track. If we're fully in Krishna consciousness, then we won't be thinking, shall we be happy? But automatically we'll be happy. I hope he's got a strong arm. It means small boy is going on fanning and fanning. He looks happy. He's not thinking of his own happiness. Am I thinking of my own happiness? Now we've heard quite a lot over the last couple of days about my unpleasant lectures. Why should there be anything unpleasant? We've not come here to torture people. Nor are you, I suppose you're not so foolish as to come to be tortured. There are some people who take pleasure. I don't think we saw them in India. Mostly in the Western countries, the extreme insanity is just normal way of life. So there are such people who are called masochists. They actually take pleasure in giving pain to themselves. Many people take pleasure in giving pain to others. There are some people who take pleasure in giving pain to themselves. So I don't think you're so foolish that you've come here to give pain to yourselves. If you think that what I'm going to say is unpleasant, then why should you sit and listen to it? It may be considered unpleasant by some persons who define pleasure or who try to find pleasure in a non-Krishna conscious way, in the way that everyone in this material world does, which is to indulge their own personal sense gratification. That's one level of enjoyment in this material world. Sangsparashaja bhoga, the enjoyment of interacting the senses with the sense objects. And there's also the pleasure of dominating others, considering oneself better than others. So between these two, direct sensual enjoyment and the sense of being superior, we have Ishvaroham aham bhogi, the demoniac outlook of thinking oneself the controller and the enjoyer. So, to be in Krishna consciousness, we have to give up that mentality and understand that Krishna is the controller and the enjoyer. But materialistic people don't like to hear this because they think it's something very horrible, that everything that I live for, we want to be happy, we want to enjoy in this world. Why should we not be happy? Why are these people speaking things which will make us unhappy? If you take away the sense of being the enjoyer and the controller, then it's just miserable. So therefore, people in general don't like to hear that they're not the enjoyer and they're not the controller. It becomes unpleasant to them. But a devotee is very pleased to hear this, because he knows it's a fact that Krishna is the controller and Krishna is the enjoyer. Therefore, you're not foolish to come and hear this. It's not that it's actually unpleasant. It's actually very pleasant to hear for people who are insane. It's pleasant to hear for people who are sane. So the sense of unpleasantness arises in insane people who think they are the enjoyer and the controller. The problem is not that the words spoken are actually unpleasant. The problem's not in what's spoken. The problem is in those who are hearing it, that they are insane. That's the problem. Instead of admitting the obvious, that I'm not the controller, I'm not the enjoyer, we blame the person who says it and says he's trying to stop our enjoyment. But nevertheless, it should be spoken. And persons who are fortunate, they can be cured from their insanity by hearing that. What is the way to be cured from the insanity of thinking that wandering in the desert, every so often I get a drop of poison water, that's all the happiness I have, and this person wants to take it away from me? What a rogue! But the person who is seen as a rogue actually wants to tell us, hey, look, there's a whole ocean of nectar without any poison. Just come here. And well, if I go there, I won't get the drop of water every few days. So it's giving information of the spiritual existence that is the cure for the insanity. But people who have very contracted intelligence, that's taken from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sankuchit Buddhi, very closed up way of thinking, they consider that they cannot conceive of anything beyond that little drop of poisoned water, or the fact that there is a place where the sun is not burning on our head and the sand is not burning beneath us, where everything is pleasant. They cannot imagine such a situation. because they're attached to being the controller and the enjoyer. So these words are required, and those who hear them can actually hear them and take them to heart. They can actually become happy. And then we can have a real festival. And then we don't need a beer festival. Or even in Krishna consciousness, we don't need jokes. There may be some jokes for showing the position of the materialists to be so foolish. But it's not that we have to try to entertain in a mundane way or artificially be nice to others. Be nice, do good. This is all mundane. And as long as there is a mundane way of thinking, here, you do. Someone massage his arm. Joke, it's a joke. You can massage it if you like. So as long as we're thinking in a mundane way, then there's no question of actual Krishna consciousness. So we see here devotees are chanting and dancing in Krishna consciousness. That chanting and dancing on the spiritual platform. In festivals throughout the world, people sing and dance. Usually they have to take some intoxication before they... Well, especially in the Western world, people take some intoxication and then they start to dance and sing. But that's not at all necessary. That motivation to sing and dance comes from the spiritual platform. So in Krishna consciousness, we should not bring anything else. We shouldn't bring that bhukti mukti spriha, the desires for material enjoyment or liberation from material enjoyment. Both are witches within the heart. Generally, that's considered spiritual. When someone sees this material enjoyment, it is gross, it is mundane. Let us cease doing that. But to desire to become free from material enjoyment without surrendering to Krishna, simply to get liberated, that is also a witch, Pishachi. The disease has not gone away. Same disease, just another manifestation of the same disease. Or something like this, that you recognize some of the symptoms of the disease, but the core symptom you don't recognize. It's something like this allopathic medicine, which treats the symptoms rather than the actual disease. So if one sees that, this material enjoyment is the cause of suffering, so let us stop that material enjoyment, and then we will become liberated from the material world. But what is the cause of the desire for material enjoyment? The Buddhists will say, stop all desire. Just stop all desire. That is a wrong conclusion, because all desire cannot be stopped. It's again, the real problem is forgetfulness of Krishna. And therefore, the desire to be liberated without surrender to Krishna, that is another symptom of the disease. So this should be stated. These words should be stated. It is unpleasant to persons who are rascals, namang duskritino mudha, to those who do not want to surrender, who are committed to not surrender to Krishna, but persons who want to surrender to Krishna, who are sincere to surrender to Krishna, they will not find that unpleasant. So, I wonder if these words are found unpleasant. Well, are we devotees or are we not devotees? Or, there are many apparently very unpleasant statements in Shastra. Mudha, Duskriti, Mudha, Naradhama, Maya Parhitagyan. Oh, and now I got my PhD. And they have a photo of you on the wall with this funny black hat, which people only wear when they get their degree, at no other time. I guess people usually wear this when they... This is for weddings, right? I just got one stuck on my head. So that MSc, PhD is certificate. Maya Parita Jnana. You think this is something very good because your actual intelligence is taken away by Maya. So the people will find that very unpleasant, isn't it? See, I studied all these years and everyone's encouraging me and it's great competition. We spend so much money and I got this degree, and then you just say, Murha, fool and rascal. But its effect, what is the result? Should be up a bit. What is the result of considering material education desirable, prestigious, beneficial? The result is, here we go again. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jartare shayanam. Here we go again. What does that mean? Here we go again means I've said this verse so many times. And here we go again means also the very words are punarapi. Here we go again. Leave my body. What's it going to be this time? 84 lakh minus one possibilities. What's it? Roulette. You don't know what roulette is. I won't bother explaining it to you. No need to contaminate your mind, but what will it be? How will I enjoy myself this time? Will it be as a pig or a dog or a cat or a chimpanzee or a snake or a rat? Anyway, you got the idea. I don't have to say all the names of every animal I ever heard of. So it may sound very unpleasant to say these things, but as long as we are nourishing material desires, the actual pleasure of Krishna consciousness, which is the soul's natural propensity and natural desire, cannot awaken. Therefore, if there's to be an actual festival with actual bliss, we have to say these things. If we think a festival should just be nice, you see, people, they're suffering all day, every day, and all night, every night, throughout their lives, but from time to time they have a festival, like a carnival or a beer festival, and then they jump around, they get drunk, and the women dance around naked or almost, and it's considered a lot of fun. And people think, at least one day a year, or however many, how many days is that carnival? Any idea? Divya Prabandha, you're supposed to know everything. How many days is the carnival? 7 days, 1 day, 1 month, 1 month. But it gets too boring, isn't it? No, they don't get bored. They've got plenty of wine down there, is it? I guess they must. Latinos are wine drinkers, right? Keeps them going. So, at least for some time, let there be some enjoyment. People are thinking. But there cannot be actual enjoyment, the real enjoyment of the soul. Enjoyment that is not just a forgetfulness or a reaction to the gross suffering that we undergo at every moment, but an enjoyment where there's no suffering needed to contrast with it, where there's the whole atmosphere, just like the whole atmosphere of this material world is suffering, the whole atmosphere of spiritual existence is pure bliss. But we have no experience of that, no. So these words are required to differentiate between sat and asat, real and unreal, actual and imitation. So these so-called festivals, they may be even religious festivals or Bhagavad Kathas, or we'll find generally those who speak at them, they only speak the things that are calculated or understood that people will think are nice to hear. And they won't speak the things that are not nice. Just like in Salem, the people who'd come every year to hear the Bhagavad Katha, they'd never heard all the not nice things. And when they started to hear it, they started to become uneasy that you have to give up material desires. They became uneasy. And when he became a step further and said, this social welfare work is all bogus, it's on the bodily platform which binds us to this material world, then they not only became uneasy, but protesting. What is this? Why are you bringing this out? Why say all these things? Well, why does Vyasadeva say? That should be considered. They'll worship Vyas. They'll do a ceremony of worship of Vyas. And then they'll tell Vyas, okay, just tell us the nice verses and all those unpleasant things, just, you know, shut up and don't tell us. That's not Vyasa Puja. That is cheating. So generally we think a very nice sadhu, a very merciful sadhu, someone who speaks nice things. But unless and until we surrender to Krishna, tavat bhakti sukasyatra katama bhyudayo bhavet, we can't experience the bliss of Krishna consciousness. We can have a kirtan and then tell a few jokes and tell a few stories that we like to hear. But because all the dirty things in the heart have not been removed, it will be on a superficial platform. It won't actually be bhakti. And people may be surprised to hear this, that we're only talking about bhakti. We told stories about Krishna and stories about Prabhupada, and we all smiled, and we were all nice. And what are you saying, that this is artificial, superficial? Because leaving out that which is required so that we can actually surrender. The pleasantness of the Krishna consciousness, bhakti-sukha, tavat bhakti-sukha-syatra, that cannot be experienced as long as there are sinful desires within the heart. So that surrender to Krishna, two first principles are anukul yasya sankalpa, pratikul yasya varjanam. To accept all that is favorable in Krishna for advancing in Krishna consciousness, and to reject all that which is opposed to the principle of advancing in Krishna consciousness. So if we only speak the things that we like to hear, but we don't speak those things that we don't like to hear, then there's no surrender. It's not Panchvidha Sharanagati, Shardavidha. There's six items in Sharanagati. So the rejecting all that which is unfavorable, actually we can't even accept that which is favorable for advancing, or that won't have the proper effect unless we reject all those things which are unfavorable. So, if we say these things, these basic things, give up material desires, don't watch the nonsense TV, don't eat food not offered to Krishna, and offered to Krishna means should be cooked by devotees, all these points, people may think, well, this is very unpleasant, but all these things have to be said. Otherwise, there's no question of coming to the platform of full surrender to Krishna. There is no surrender. What are we surrendering if we're not giving up our material attachments? What does it mean? Of course, the word is Sharanagati, taking shelter. And Srila Prabhupada generally translated that as surrender, which is interesting because it's not exactly the same word etymologically. Is that the right? It's not anyway. Sharan means shelter, but we can't take shelter of Krishna without surrendering to him. Surrender means that Guptritve Varanantata Atma Nikshepa, accepting Krishna only as our protector and maintainer, and fully giving ourselves to Krishna. So unless we do that, then we don't get the shelter of Krishna. If we're trying to take shelter of many different gods or take shelter of our material desires, then we don't get the shelter of Krishna in which that bhakti sukh is experienced, because tavat bhakti sukhasyatra katamat bhyudayo bhavet. As long as those witches are there of desires for material enjoyment or desires for liberation from material enjoyment, then actual bhakti doesn't take place. So these things have to be said, should be said. Not should be said, have to be said. Unless they're, it may seem very unpleasant, but unless they're said, then the whole purpose of what we are supposed to be here for, which is not exactly for our own enjoyment, but that Krishna will be pleased, that is bhakti, acting in such a manner that Krishna will be pleased. Krishnendriya priti vancha dhare premanam. That love of Krishna means to act in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. Very simple principle. Very, very simple principle. And how is that to be understood in practical life? We have to understand that. The Shastra is there, general directions are there, and even in many specific instances, how the Acharyas have instructed us, how they've behaved, we can refer to that. But the nature of this material world is that Maya has many, many facets. Many facets. Alag alag dung hai, I guess. So, the Shastra won't cover everything. Just like, for instance, this report came of dressing Krishna as Santa Claus. And there's a whole article explaining how it's all very good. as with the whole idea to convince that actually we're just doing it for Krishna's pleasure. You can understand the principle, but explaining it in a roundabout way that, you see, some Christians came to the temple who didn't normally come. So then, yeah, we should, like I say, we should dress Krishna as Sachin Tendulkar, and then cricket fans who don't normally come, they may also come. So it's like presenting as if we're just doing this for bhakti. The Prakriti Sahajya Sampradayas, they do this. You'll find that the newly married girl is sent to the guru and the husband gets her back as prasadam. See, he gives his mercy to the... Before, see, you can't enjoy something without offering it to God. So guru is God. So you offer first your wife to the guru and then you take prasadam. You see? Sounds very Krishna conscious, doesn't it? Does it? Well, be careful of such a guru. That's a very gross example, but that's been several sampradayas in India have explained like this. And people go along with it. They think, very nice. So, just seeing what is for Krishna's pleasure and how in our disease mentality we can even take the words of Shastra, the sacred process of devotional service, and just adjust it a little bit. And then we're back in the same position. Ah, my own enjoyment. Ah, now I feel relief. Now we're acting on the, pretending that we're on the, or cheating ourselves, that we're on the completely pure platform of total surrender to Krishna, but actually it's all a hoax. As I was saying, like these sampradayas in Bangladesh, where they sing so nicely, and then when their time is up, they go and smoke. So everything is going on just like it should do. But just a little bit, something is wrong. What's that little bit? Everything is wrong. Because the attitude is not that of Krishnarthe Akhila Chishta. Everything for the should be done for the pleasure of Krishna. And even we may quote this, and even by the grace of Maya Devi, we may think that I'm doing everything for the pleasure of Krishna. That sincerity can be very dangerous if it's not properly directed. Just like we could say Hitler was very sincere in trying to improve the condition of the German people. Very dangerous sincerity. No doubt all these Christians who are going around and converting Hindus into beef-eating offenders against Vedic culture, they're probably very sincere in what they do. Sincere in as much as they're convinced they're right and they're doing the best for everyone. So, all these points have to be understood very carefully. Otherwise, it's inevitable that everything will deteriorate. So these unpleasant words, they should be spoken. The method of reading the Bhagavatam is to go through all the Bhagavatam. And not just read the stories. What are the instructions? Again and again and again. We find the necessity to give up material desires, to have no desire other than to serve Krishna, to be in the association of devotees, all these points. So Bhagavatam is nigamakalpataro galitam phalam. It is the ripened fruit of the desire tree of the Vedas. The Vedas can give everything. In Vedic culture, you can go to heaven and get liberated, you can go to Vaikuntha, or even in the side-by-side with Vedic culture, there's that tantric culture, which is like Vedic culture in reverse. You can go to the deepest hell also. Or even by taking the words of the Vedas and misinterpreting, you can go to hell. But what is the proper understanding, clear understanding? Krishnendriya Priti Icha. No, what is that? Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kam Krishnendriya Priti Vancha Dhare Premana. So this point, and how is it applied? That we should see in every sphere. And when we are in the consciousness of only wanting to please Krishna, then the connection is there with Krishna, with the Swarup Shakti, Hladini Shakti, pleasure Shakti of Krishna. Then dancing and chanting will be in happiness. Vishaya Charya Shairoshe Majya Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari. When we give up the desires for sense gratification, then we are blessed by Krishna's pleasure potency. Our chanting will be joyful. Otherwise, if we say that, well, doesn't matter that much whether you follow the regulative principles, doesn't matter whether you follow, then we may also get pleasure in chanting, but we'll take pleasure from the beautiful sound of the voice, who is the sweetest singer, who is playing so many nice instruments, and it becomes mundane. Of course, those who can sing nicely, those who can play nicely, they should do so for the pleasure of Krishna. Those who can inspire others in singing and dancing for the pleasure of Krishna, they should do so. But if we judge this singer is good, has such a nice voice, and follow principle, well, that doesn't matter. It's just the feeling, the bhakti, then it's all. If we say like that, immediately bogus. So that's unpleasant, isn't it? To say bogus, isn't it? Nasty thing to say. You don't expect it from spiritual people. See, all the materialistic people, they're criticizing each other, trying to put each other down. So the spiritual people, they should just be encouraging and saying nice things. That's what some pseudo-spiritual people think. Not knowing the actual nature of spirit, they never read Bhagavad Gita. Of course, they may have learned the verses and recited them as a kind of religious process, but that is required to differ. If we just say everything is nice, then indirectly we are saying that Bhagavad Gita is not nice, because Krishna speaks so many not nice things. What you in your sankuchita buddhi, contracted understanding, would consider not nice. So all these things should be discussed regularly. Even some of the things Srila Prabhupada said in private, they're probably not, it's probably best not to say in public, because people become so disturbed. Even to speak the truth, even among devotees, can be very sensitive. People become disturbed. So it hurts. It may hurt our sensitivity. But when we become completely open to hear that message, then it can reach our heart. The operation, just like they have this, is some kind of operation, they do a laparoscopy. They stick something in your body without actually cutting it or damaging it. They get inside and rectify everything inside. So we have to open our ears. This initiation ceremony is coming now. So that's a spiritual sanskar. Sanskar means reformatory ceremony. In the mundane pious field, there are also various sanskars, one of which is piercing the ear, piercing the lobe of the ear. This is done to children, so that an earring can be attached there, which also apparently has some usage for Ayurveda or something like this, that there's some point or something like this. It helps something in the body, whatever. So that's a standard part of Vedic culture, which has, like most of the standard points of Vedic culture, been given up and forgotten in the modern age. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he described the actual initiation is not sitting in a ceremony, but undergoing the karna bhed sanskar, having the ear pierced. But the spiritual ear piercing is not the lobe of the ear, but the right in the ear canal. And the piercing goes right through to the heart. And because it's a spiritual ceremony, it's not exactly by any instrument, but it is by the agreement to open the ears, or rather, even without agreement, the speaker speaks in such a way that vidyate hridaya granthis chidyante sarva sanshayaha. The knot on the heart, the knot of material attachments, are cut, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. So that is the actual initiation into receiving spiritual knowledge. One cannot receive spiritual knowledge unless one's misconceptions, material knowledge, until that is cut, as long as one is thinking that Professor Einstein was the biggest brain of the 20th century, the most valuable contribution to human society. As long as we're thinking that any material knowledge is in any ultimate way beneficial to us, or if we see the world through the conditioning which we have acquired in this life and in previous lives, then we cannot hear that which is actual spiritual knowledge. Actual spiritual knowledge means to understand Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am His servant, and there are so many levels. Radha, Krishna, the gopis in Vrindavan, that is the highest level. But as long as we are thinking in a mundane way, how I can enjoy this world, or how I can get free from suffering, and then we're not eligible, actually, we cannot understand this. So if we're thinking we'll do bhakti and I'll get material enjoyment. If I chant, then my business will go very well. Or anyway, I'm fed up of this material world. Let me chant and get liberation from this material world. If we're thinking like this, then there's no question of actually entering into actual bhakti. Actual bhakti means anyabhilashita shunyam. The cultivation of devotional service, free from material desires. So that coming to devotional service free from material desires never comes about by conducting bhakti with material desires. In other words, if we say, well, you do bhakti and your business will do well, as long as we're telling people that, we may think, well, it's very good, they're chanting Hare Krishna, they'll be benefited by that, but they won't get actual benefit. It's putting petrol in the fire on one side and water on the other side. That's not actually worship of Krishna, aradhana. That is aparad, because we're asking Krishna to, I have got so many material desires, and you just come and supply me fuel for the burning fire of my material desires. So that's not worship. That, I worship you, now you just carry this firewood for me and bring it and throw it in my fire so that I can enjoy myself. So that kind of so-called bhakti, even though you may do the same things, chanting, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, having fancy dress contest, well, that's not part of bhakti, but anyway, that's a modern thing. So it may seem the same, but because it's being cultivated on the platform of material enjoyment, then there'll never actually be bhakti. Why is it that there's so many katas here in Rameshwaram, in North India, so many places, and no one even gets the idea to stop drinking tea? In fact, they organize a big barrel of tea, hot tea, for the speakers and the hearers. Why does that never take place? Because no one had an idea to do so. Unless and until we agree to subject ourselves to hearing the whole message of Bhagavatam without any material inducement, then there's no question of entering into actual bhakti. And that's what the initiation ceremony is about. It's not that we take to bhakti, we're being initiated so we can get relief from our suffering, or that we can enjoy better in this material world. Of course, most people come to bhakti with such a motive. Arto artati jignyasu gyani cha bharatarshava. Four kinds of people come to bhakti. And especially in the modern age where everyone is distressed, people are mostly coming for relief from material distress. But those who are to take initiation, they should have graduated from that initial stage of taking to bhakti simply to get free from material distress, and they should understand, at least understand, that we have come to the platform where we want to cultivate serving Krishna, Krishnarte Akila Cheshta, for Krishna's pleasure only. That should be, therefore, we ask, study the books, get some understanding, take some time, hear, try to understand. What are you doing this? Why are you coming? What is the meaning of this initiation? We're not initiating people into witchcraft. Witchcraft means pishachi, hridivartate. Desires for material enjoyment or desires to become free from material enjoyment. So this is the meaning of initiate. Of course, that may be explained in so many ways, but initiation into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sampradaya, Krishna Prema Pradayati, he is the giver of Krishna Prema. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the ideal Acharya, of course he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's acting as the ideal Acharya. We don't find in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes after his initiation by Ishvara Puri that there's any trace of anything but pure devotion. Prior to his initiation, there was his pastimes of scholarship. But after, in his householder life also, he dutifully acted as a householder. But there, he only taught by his actions and by his precepts, his instructions, that Krishnarthe Akhila Cheshta, everything should be done simply for Krishna's pleasure. So it's not expected or even recommended that everyone, especially those who are Grihastha devotees, that they immediately come to the platform of giving up all comforts. But the principle should be understood, and one should act in that way. Act in a manner by which we'll come to the platform of freedom from material desire, with the desire to serve Krishna. So it may seem very difficult or almost impossible to be free from material desire, but it is not impossible. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't come to give us something impossible, he came to give us that which is very possible. So we should go on with the faith that Krishna will help us, dadami buddhi yogam tam. If we are sincere to serve Krishna, Krishna will help us, even though it may seem we have insurpassable mountains of material desires. Krishna can just... vast Himalayas. Krishna can just... the little blow. He can blow it all away. So this should be our faith and our motivation in devotional service. And this is the meaning of initiation. To be on the path of Sharanagati, full surrender to Krishna, without pretentiousness. So, Hare Krishna.